Yours?
13, yeah.
13 or 12?
No, we did 12.
Is it 12?
I don't think there is a 12.
There's no backup on one of them.
12 has no backup.
12 has no backup.
So we're on 12, we haven't been 12.
All right. Paul, is it Kurt? Paul? Is that?
Somebody?
You guys figure it out, but I just let you know the crowd's in an ugly mood.
Okay, because, I mean.
Is there a motion?
There have been, you know, because of the elimination of the straddle, you adopted new assumptions, and those, as you saw, will lower the employer's contribution rates by about 4% of pay. Let me get that letter in front of me here. And they will also have a much smaller effect on the member contribution rates, which is about 3/10ths of a percent of pay. This information is taken from the last page, page 4 of the letter under Agenda Item 9. Average employer rate will go down by 4.2%. The average member rate will go down by about 0.3%. Now, those assumptions will be used in the 2013 valuation, which means that they will not affect either the member or the employer rates until July 1, 2015. Okay, that's a little less than a year from now. What I believe is being requested under Item 12 is that we would go back and redo the 2012 valuation using those new assumptions, and then that would change the rates that went into effect July 1 of this year, about a month and a half ago. So, you know, that I think is what is being proposed here. That would be an extraordinary action on behalf of the board. Normally, when there is an assumption change, it takes place in the next evaluation, then there's the 18-month lag between that date and when the rates go into effect, so.
But he says straddle, I think it's terminal pay, not straddling.
Well, I think it's both. It's both, yeah, it's both.
You only said straddling, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, it's terminal pay and straddling, yes, correct.
This really helps to make Harvey's point, which is now we're looking back.
2 years, right.
Right. So what's the argument to do this? In other words, what's the strong argument to do it, and then we can talk about what the strong argument to not do it is?
Prior to that, what's the background on this? How did this make an agenda item?
Is this the one that I asked for? Okay, I'm the one that asked for this.
Oh.
I'll explain it.
There's a question I can answer.
Get ready for the motions and the substitute.
This is the first time I know where actual benefit was taken away, and so the terminal pay is no longer something that a person gets, yet for the next year, they'll be paying for that, and that's where I have the issue. So for all this year, if we don't, you're paying for benefit that you lost, and I don't know if that's ever happened before, but go ahead.
So I just want to be clear, you're talking about the terminal pay and what the employee's been paying for the COLA?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
And that's an issue. I know the members are asking about that, whether it's a penny or $100, they're just saying, you know, I don't want to continue to pay for a benefit that I'm not going to get.
They've been getting a benefit that they haven't paid for, and I think we saw that.
No, they did, they paid for the COLA.
They paid for the COLA, but we saw in the last presentation that they weren't paying for the leave cash outs.
And they're not asking for that, they're asking for the COLA part.
They're still getting leave cash outs, and we voted not to retroactively change that, so why would we retroactively change this?
Because I brought it up, and we're going to discuss it.
Okay, we're discussing it.
Okay.
I can discuss, too.
This is whether to change the current rates. Okay, further discussion.
What was the last discussion?
So which, Gabe, which valuation, or does this deal with evaluation year?
Well, yeah, this is new, and I don't know, I just want to bring it up, because every month now, they're going to be paying for a benefit that they will longer get, so I don't know how we do about this, this is new. I brought it up for discussion, I want to learn about it. Any ideas on it?
So is this, Harvey, is this similar to, I believe it was, the DSA made a motion towards the end of Judge Flynn's ruling regarding all the pay that they've contributed towards for the DSA to, you remember, and it was Judge Flynn.
They asked the court, and the judge didn't rule on that.
So is this essentially, I think?
No, I don't know, I mean, I guess Gabe raised the issue, but if I were to try to focus what it's about, the members have been paying a portion of the terminal pay assumption, the the load that Siegel adds on at the end in their COLA contribution. They pay, I believe the number is 34 basis points, or about a third of a percent of pay towards this load on terminal pay. What they're saying is that most of that load has gone away because they can't get it now. So until these changes get into the system, this very year, calendar or fiscal year from July 1, 2014 to June 30, 2015, until these new rates we've been talking about all morning come into effect, these new lower rates, they will be paying 34 basis points towards a phantom benefit. It doesn't exist anymore for them. There's no way they can get it. And the question I take it is, you know, should we make a mid-course correction, knowing what we know now, that we're charging members for something that they can't possibly receive?
Would mid-course be effective 7-1, 12-31? Okay.
In effect, 7-1.
7-1.
Or as soon as the, you know, payroll could implement, could change and bleed that one-third of a percent out of their deductions. I take it as what it is. Brian?
7-1, 2015.
You know, Brian sent me an email on Sunday night, I think, asking if there were any legal implications about this, and I said, I responded to him, and which I'm happy to tell the rest of the board, that this is, you know, in the past there has been some legal precedent for making mid-course corrections. The most recent one was when San Diego County, about 10 years ago, floated a pension obligation bond in the middle of it and raised $500 million and put that $500 million into the system and then said, well, you know, our employer contribution rates this year are not recognizing that we paid down the unfunded liability by $500 million. Can we make a change? And they did. The board voted to make a change, and the members sued the board for dropping the employer rate in that situation. Say you shouldn't have done it mid-course. The rates had been set. You didn't have the right to change that, and they lost. Court of Appeals said that when an event happens subsequent to setting the rates, it's within the board's discretion to make a judgment on that and adjust the rates. I mean, we typically adjust the rates on an annual basis, but there's nothing in the law that says we can only do it annually or we can't make a change like that. So I think it's fully within the board's discretion to consider and make a determination. If you think that changed circumstances have occurred, then
would this affect both employer and employee?
It would affect both employer and employee costs. Yeah.
Well,
you could do that midstream. It may be, you know, my comment to Brian is just make sure that you can administer it. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to drive the county nuts or the other employers, you know, crazy.
Well, I do like
and I
driving
don't know if actuarially
crazy.
We can calculate so. It, you know, in a timely manner. If it takes the actuaries 4 more months to do it and we can't get it implemented till the January payroll, I don't know if it's possible to do that. But assuming it's possible, there certainly is no legal reason why you can't do it.
Then I'll move that we do this to get it on the table for further discussion.
I'll second it.
Okay. Karen moved. Gabe seconded. Motion.
Can I ask, are we looking to go retro to the first of the year, or just whenever we get the rates, go forward?
I'm open. I don't know. That's why I'm here.
As soon as possible for implementation, I'll add to the motion.
So not retro to any payrolls that have occurred by the time we get the rates. It makes a difference. That's
no,
why
I know
I
it makes a difference, but I think that's an additional hardship. I think anything that we can save our employees at any point is helpful. So I'm assuming, I'm looking at Bob, it's harder to make it retro, and then it confuses things. So as soon as they can do that, that would be great. I'm hoping in the next month or two.
So the motion is prospective only, as soon as practical.
Well, from today forward. So I guess effective September 1st. Let Bob talk.
do it September 1st.
Just to clarify, if the board gets from Siegel the adjusted rates, those rates don't become effective until the Board of Supervisors actually officially adopts it. Is that correct?
That's true.
Uh-huh. I'll do my best to get that on there as soon as possible.
We have an in with them.
Paul, how long would it take you to get these rates?
Mr. Angelo.
I mean, there are, you know, the rates have to be developed by us. We need to get a sense of what that means. Are we going to revise the 2012 actuarial report? Because that report is out in the public as what your plan is on that date. Or there's an extensive package of rates. We could revise only those. I'll ask Kurt's help on the details of that. Those would then have to be brought to you to adopt, and then those would be taken to the Board of Supervisors for them to adopt. And so there are going to be some delays. It's not going to happen by September.
That's fine.
Exactly when it happens, Kurt.
Another reason why we need staff reports that give us these options and tell us all the details are.
Well, we can give you a staff report and give you these options and give you all the details. But the agenda item only got on the agenda the day the agenda was released. So even when the Board of Supervisors adopts these rates, it still takes something like 3 months to put those rates into the payroll system to get those and to test them out to make sure they work. Is that right?
Why didn't they make this before they
That's
were?
Fine.
They're holding us down.
Well,
Gail,
maybe less than 3 months.
That we're not happy.
And another option that we could bring to you is that since we can go ahead with the 2013 valuation, and that's what Siegel's working on, we could get those rates and possibly adopt those 6 months earlier than we would have, something like that, where they still have a couple months to get them into the system.
I'll amend my motion. Let's move this to our September meeting. Staff comes back with all the options about what we can and cannot do with time frames in them, so then we can know whether to adopt with the newer so we can make a decision that gives staff direction.
I'll second that.
If I can amend that to suggest that January 1 would be the practical start date.
I'd rather wait.
I don't want to limit it.
Yeah, I want to wait till they get. I would prefer to wait till they come back in September and tell us. Maybe October. I don't know.
I'm just hearing 3 months after they get back, and there's a natural date.
I think
there.
We can move faster than that. You know, we get MOUs implemented faster than 3 months.
Is there a second?
I'll second the amendment.
Okay, so the amendment has been proposed and seconded.
Bob had a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob.
Ask for a clarification for the actuary's benefit that this does not take priority over the 13.
Unlimited staff. They have.
And you know, you chuckle, but I know in terms of, you know, Chris said 3 months. Really what it depends on is when it comes into the office and we need to work on it. I would not put this ahead of getting the W-2s out for the, you know, 11,000 W-2s.
Good idea.
That we might need to do. So there is a timing issue of when we can do it, and depending on when it does happen, it impacts when we can do it, and I'm sure a similar thing is going to be transpiring for Siegel.
So what I understood the motion was, though, that this was simply to have your staff come back and report to you with the options and the time frames. So Siegel will be taking no action relative to the motion that's been made. We're going to proceed with the evaluation, and not until, based on Kurt's report to you, you then decide that you are or are not going to go back and redo the rates from the 12 valuation. Only then will we even start working on that.
I
so
want everything that we can get so we can make a decision based on facts.
I think when the members see that we're going that direction, I think that's good. I think it's a positive for them.
I agree with you, Gabe.
The answer to this question may be self-evident, and obviously we want to rectify anything that might fall into the category, arguably, of an error. But this has a feeling somehow of when's the next one going to come up? Somebody else comes in next week and says, you know what, I've always been wondering about this that happened to whatever. Can you go back and recalculate that?
This is a major lawsuit, though. I don't see another major lawsuit. I mean, this is, again, unique. I know what you're saying, but that could be as general. Anything could happen. So
that's why I asked if we can do it for both the employer and the employee. There should be no reason for a lawsuit. The employee should be happy.
Oh, no, I agree. But I'm saying
lawyers should be happy, too.
Well,
I'm just pointing out that there's a possibility in the future on some other issue that somebody says, I didn't realize you could go back and change something because there's always something that our group's been interested in having to look at.
They could say that without us doing it.
Yeah, they can say that with anything.
Yeah. But especially if we've approved one. I'm not arguing against it.
You could say that when we aren't including certain cost items in member rates and ask for it to be included, too.
Okay.
Karen.
Call Karen.
I have a question that we may be able to address in the subsequent report, and that is when the board adopted an addendum to the compensation policy to include less termination pay, less leave cash outs for future employees, was the effective date of that immediate, or did that go into the subsequent
I would say that the people that were affected by that, the new hires after 1/1/11, always paid a rate that was based on that?
Mm-mm.
Because it was prospectively, right? I mean, this decision was made in 2010. And we came up with new rates
enough time.
For those people.
I thought their colon.
There was no retroactivity with the changed rates for that benefit change.
No, but they had to adopt additional rates because people coming in that tier, there were already rates.
I think it's a relevant precedent that we may want to include in the report.
Clear my throat
again. Okay. We have a motion on the floor. I believe it was Karen's. seconded by Gabe. Is there any more discussion?
And I believe it was amended. So if we could clarify, wasn't
it
amended?
What we're doing anymore.
I'm sorry?
I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Well,
you had an amendment, and was it seconded?
My amendment was to make it effective 1/1/14, and I thought that there was a reasonable reaction back that they preferred not to, which I agree with, which I'm happy to.
I don't think there was a second here.
There was a second.
There was a second.
There was.
And I think the reason why you put it effective January 1st, if I understand, is because he understood that county's going to need time to put this into the system for it to work.
And I appreciate that. I want a report from staff that gives us some time frames. And I know that I don't control the actuary and I don't control the auditor controller, but I control the agenda for the Board of Supervisors. And so to the extent that we can get the information, let's just say we get this information next month and staff comes back and says, this can be implemented by November 1, I want to know that. If it can't, then that's fine, but I want to know, and I don't want to be limited by whatever. I want some specifics in the staff report that comes back about time frames.
Got it.
I don't think that's real difficult. Realistic time frames.
I guess, at least in part, staff doesn't control actuaries' time frame as well.
I understand.
There are other outside factors there. There's a lot of merit, at least from my experience, in doing things on a natural date. And the natural date struck me as January 1.
Where I'm going, John, is I want staff after this meeting, before our next meeting, to say the board has given an indication that they want us to be able to implement this. So, actuary, please tell us by what time frame you can get information back to us. And I appreciate, instead of dealing in what ifs, I want some specifics. I'm going to use the word that's straight, accountability. If it's going to take till October 1 before they can get us a report, great. But I think when you leave it open-ended, it can give a message that it is not as important as it is.
The January 1 date, I understand, is when you wanted to implement it.
Right. I didn't see that as open-ended, by the way. I saw that as precise.
So the other thing
they
you
can't meet
for
January
can
1. What if it's February 1?
Okay. Or what if there's
Or what if it's November?
Yeah. I'm sorry. It's frustrating because I don't understand why we have to put a time frame around it. It's as quickly as can possibly be expected with all the other workloads, and tell us when that might be. And then we come back. Because we're going to have to adopt it, are we not?
Yeah.
What that is.
Before we implement it.
Harvey,
yeah.
You had a...
So then we'll have some time frames to know to give direction.
Right, Harvey.
I just had a practical comment. Given the size of this, if it's 34 basis points on an annual basis, this could be done as a payroll adjustment in a single payroll period during the fiscal year and sweep in all the adjustments for the year, mm-hmm. subject to Mr. Campbell's
which would be important information for us to have.
So you could do it. You could. So we don't have to
be staff.
We don't have to be bound, I think, by a single
Harvey,
pay period.
Brought me into this. I would really like to understand the funding mechanism of the COLA in terms that since the COLA is different than the normal basic, that what we're really talking about here is a small window of time, I think, between now and the next valuation that recognizes these things when they take the funding that's available for the COLA into their next considerations, which is a little bit different than how the unfunded liability portion works from the normal and basic, I'm hoping, if Siegel can confirm that.
Well, that's what they can discuss outside of me.
Let me restate the question. When we talk about unfunded liabilities, that goes to the employer. But what I heard earlier was the COLA cost, and I'm assuming funded and unfunded, gets shared between the
COLA normal cost is shared between the employer.
That answers
my question.
Thank you.
You're not
going to
get home
until
2 o'clock in the morning.
So they could just roll in
the
payroll then?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
could.
Just, I withdraw my amendment subject to my second agreeing to withdraw it.
And to Harvey's comment, remember that this would affect both the employer and the member rates. The effect on the employer rate is 4% of pay. It's not small.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's still smaller than they pay on an annual basis. Anyway,
I withdraw my amendment. Rusty, you or Debbie or maybe even Jerry would. Anyway, I had a second. I know over here.
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
No, you seconded his motion.
It was the amendment. So we are back to Karen's motion.
I'm withdrawing. I'm going to go with Karen's motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's where we are now.
No? Amen.
All right. Karen's motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All favored it. Thank you. All done with 12. Now we start with